that which we have heard, that which we have handled of the word of life, that which we have tasted, that is what we declare unto you today by the grace of God. And in as much as, you know, many have taken it upon themselves, or several, you know, to talk about the kingdom of God and so forth, you know, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to me also that I should also, you know, having by the grace of God received deep understanding on this matter, I wanted to communicate and share the same with us today. It's an important and vital topic. We're talking today about citizenship and ambassadorship in the kingdom. I have taught this before, and I will teach some on it again today. I may not complete it today. I may finish it up tomorrow. But I want to start here by reading Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm going to start there. Verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Glory to God. So, right away, we see a declaration. A declaration right there. Ah, Lord, let my doctrine drop as the rain this morning. Let my speech distill as the dew, even as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord and the things of his kingdom, even here this morning. Oh, let us ascribe greatness unto our God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Lord is our rock. Amen. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, welcome again this morning. Let's dive right into it. Praise God. When you saw this topic, or maybe you didn't look, you just came in the room anyway. But now that you see the topic, what comes to mind? You know, so I want to talk on three aspects of this. Three aspects. So we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. And we're going to be talking about citizenship and ambassadorship in that kingdom. First, I will reintroduce the kingdom of God from the way and the understanding that God has given it to me. I will present it. It's important for we to, for all of us to understand this. The message of the kingdom is to give us fresh and new understanding. It's very important. So I have several scriptures that I will go through, and we want you to pay attention as we go through some of the, I'm going to take my time. If we don't finish, we'll continue next day. I'm going to take my time through this. There's three aspects of this that I want to cover. I'm going to cover the kingdom first. Then I'm going to cover, you know, once we understand the kingdom, then we will begin to understand what citizenship and ambassadorship means in that kingdom. You know, the first scripture that we want to read, because we're talking about new understanding. The first scripture that we want to read is in Matthew chapter 9. And we look at verses 16 and 17. And in this scripture, Jesus is talking about, you know, you really can't put, you know, something new upon something or into, you know, something old. That's not going to work, he said. So keep that in mind. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So it is important that we keep that in mind. You know, the fresh and good things that God will give us from time to time, sometimes may be contrary to our belief systems. You know, so, but you've got to allow the Lord to bring it to your heart and your minds. You know, and as I often like to say, when I teach on subjects that, you know, a bit deeper than the surface, I like to tell people that, look, you must engage God in the spirit. John chapter 6, verse 63 will tell us that. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, but Jesus said, but there are some of you that believe not. So he already knew that. You know, so it is important. And the reason people didn't believe is they already believe something else. You know, so when we believe something else, sometimes our belief system actually hinders us from hearing what God is saying in the hour. But I pray that the Lord will help us to understand. Jesus loved to speak about the kingdom quite a bit. As a matter of fact, you know, he spoke a lot about the kingdom. Many, many parables in that Bible about the kingdom. We find it in so many places in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Several parables that he talked about in the book of Matthew 20. Several, another parable, great parable of the late hour workers. You know, in the book of Matthew 25, many parables about the wise and the foolish and when he comes, the sheep and the goats. I mean, and on and on and on. In the book of Luke 19, the parable of the pounds and so forth. You know, in the book of Matthew, Mark 4, you know, many parables of the kingdom. You know, so kingdom message and understanding it is important. But let's read Matthew 13, verses 18 and 19. Now, this is the one of the parables that Jesus was speaking in this place, the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow, he said, and, you know, cast his seed here and there and all that. You know, and some of them fell, on the wayside. Some fell over here. Some fell over there. So after he gave that parable, the disciples came to him and asked him. And they said, look, you know, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus said, well, it's not given to them. That's why. But to you, it's given. So he began to explain it to them. And then he said, look, you know, as he began to explain the parable of the sower, there is something important that he brought out. You know, and I want to talk about that today. He said, hear ye the parable of the sower, Matthew 13 and 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now that's the part that I want to focus on in that parable this morning. So in understanding is very important. But what is the message that the sower was sowing? It is called the word of the kingdom. So it's all about the kingdom. It's called the word of the kingdom. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then the wicked one is going to catch away from his heart even what he has already heard. So it is very important for us to have understanding. But if we do have understanding, here's what Jesus said in verse 52 of the same chapter, Matthew 13. You know, he asked them first in verse 51, say, have ye understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Okay. So here's what understanding does. When you have understanding, Jesus said unto them then, after they said, we understand, said, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. You know, so remember, even though he said, don't put new things unto old, look, understanding will bring new treasure. new treasure. So you have the old and you have the treasure. These scribes, they were skilled in understanding. I mean, not in understanding. They were skilled in knowing the letter. You know, they knew the Torah. Many of them, you know, knew so many things. You know, so Jesus telling them, look, you knew the old stuff. That's good. But when you are instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, you will bring out even new things out of your treasure. So it's very important. Now, the scribes, their belief system wouldn't let them, unfortunately, go forward into new things. You know, they just danced around all the old stuff that they knew, you know, and they wouldn't receive new things from the Lord. You know, but it is important for us to establish that, you know, new things, you know, can come to us from God from time to time. But sometimes our belief system hinders us from receiving the revelation that Jesus is communicating to us at the moment. The story of Jesus and Martha at the graveside of Lazarus. We know how that story went. I've spoken on it multiple times, but it is important because when Jesus was talking to her in John chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, Jesus was telling her that, look, thy brother will rise again, he said. And then she said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now that's her belief system. Her belief system, in her mind, she already knows that the resurrection is coming and that, you know, her brother will rise again. But Jesus has talked about this before. The hour is and now is coming. The hour is coming and now is and all that. You know, the hour is coming that those that are in the graves, you know, shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall rise. I mean, Jesus has talked about these things before. So she knew about that. But that's all she knew. And so her belief system is preventing her from understanding what Jesus is trying to communicate right now. You know, so because she's still focused on what she already knew. And my brother will rise in the resurrection at the last day. So Jesus had to bring her back and say, look, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. So that's exactly right. I'm talking about this, not that. So that is what you have heard and that's what you're latched onto. But I'm talking about this right now. Right now, right here, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I know you believe that, but do you believe this? You know, so Jesus had to set her straight. And even at that point, she said, look, Lord, I know that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She's still, her mind is still future. I mean, she's still, all her stuff is just, yeah, resurrection in the future. Yeah, the Messiah will come, the Son of God, the Christ, and so forth. You know, so anyway, the mercy of God, you know, brought forth that resurrection and the raising of Lazarus from the dead because Jesus wanted to show his disciples that he had power also over dead and living. It doesn't matter to the Lord. So, you know, but it is important for us to notice that exchange between Jesus and Martha. But let's go on to the concept of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is every kingdom is a government. You know, it's very important that we understand that. Every kingdom is a government. So the kingdom of God is also a government. It is a government of heaven. You know, and it is also an everlasting kingdom. It's one that had been from of old, but will eventually, you know, will eventually experience it. And it, you know, it continues on. You know, so the key things about the kingdom is this. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, you know, we're given the prophecy of Christ coming through Bethlehem. But there is more to that than just that. It is important for us to read the words of Micah to understand what he said. Thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of this shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler or governor in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. A governor has a government. There must be somewhat for him to govern over if he is a governor. So that is very important that we understand that. It is also important for us to understand that Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, when Jesus was prophesied to be, to come by Isaiah, said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. But he doesn't stop there. The next things that he says are so critical for us to understand about this government as well. He said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So right away, we're told that this son that is coming, it's all about a government. It's not just about just coming, but the government shall be on his shoulder. Well, we know that Christ is the head of the church. Christ is not the shoulder, he's the head. And the head alone by itself is not complete. The head is not the complete body. Neither is the shoulder the complete body. Neither are the hands or the feet. Everything must come together, to form that body. So 1 Corinthians 12, Paul explained all of that. So Jesus is the head of the church. The church is his body. We know that, so the shoulders must of necessity, therefore, then be part of his body. The government will be upon his shoulders. He didn't say upon his head, so who's going to carry this government? Now, right away, we see that that's a government. So the government is so important, and again, let me just briefly welcome everyone that's in the room. Sister Bridget, thank you for being here. Mami, Alexis, Grace, Julia, and Colapo, and of course my wife. Thank you for all of you being here. The government will be on his shoulder. So important that we understand that, Now, let's learn more about this government. It's an everlasting government. It has been forever, before from of old. We read that in Micah 5 and 2 already. And it will continue to be. Psalm 145 verse 13 tells us about that kingdom, being an everlasting kingdom. It is so important for us to understand that, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. Remember, today's topic is citizenship and ambassadorship in the kingdom. And we must, first of all, understand the elements of this kingdom before we even go to talk about citizenship and ambassadorship. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. So we see that. Likewise, in Daniel, he brought out a lot of things about this kingdom, that kingdom of God, right? Daniel brought out this. He talked about, in Daniel chapter 2, when he was talking about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he was interpreting it and showing how, what will happen at the end. Glory to God. So Daniel, he talked about this. He said, look, inasmuch as you saw that the mountain was cut out without hands, right? Well, let me start from verse 44. In the days of these kings, he's been explaining the vision of the golden image, right? And he's explained everything, the image, the head of gold, the arms of, breast and arms of silver, his bellies of and thighs of brass, his legs of iron and clay and all that, And then he saw a hand that was cut out without hands, which smote the image. Right? That's verse 34. Smote the image upon his feet and break them in pieces. So he continued to explain, the progression of all these kingdoms of the world until the feet, starting from the head, said, thou thou art this head, you know, from Babylon and through all the kingdoms and so forth. You know, somebody said that, look, at the end, here's what he said. Let's pick it up at verse 43. Whereas thou sawest, the clay mingled with the iron and so forth. This is what is happening. At the end, it will be fragmented. And in the days of these kings. Now, kings means kingdoms. You don't have a king. As a king must have a kingdom. You can't be a king if there's no kingdom. You know, when you have kingdoms too, you also have citizens. So we get to that. But in the days of those kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom? Well, he's going to bring that part into the earth. But remember, his kingdom is from everlasting. He's not just going to set up shop. He's already been there. But he will establish something. The kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. So it is important for us to understand this kingdom. So he began to explain it. Also in Daniel chapter 4 verse 3, talks about the, you know, this kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, he said, look, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. This was Nebuchadnezzar giving a testimony, you know, after his restoration. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. You know, so it's important for us to know God has a kingdom, you know, and the tenor of that kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. Also in Daniel chapter 7, verses 14 and 27, it will tell us how God will bring this kingdom at the beginning. I'm taking my time to explain this kingdom. It is very important for us to understand this before we go further into some of the other things that we wanted to talk about. So key for us to understand this. This kingdom that will come, you know, when the Son of Man will come, he said, look, I saw in the night visions, Daniel 7 and 3, 13, sorry, one like unto the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days and brought him nigh him. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom. It's always talking about kingdom. That all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So that is so important. And, jumping to verse 27, and that kingdom and dominion and greatness of that kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, talking about dominion. Well, let's go back to the beginning quickly. In Genesis 1 and 26, we heard what God said. His plan. You know, he said, look, let us make man. Of course, you know, he was talking to the Lamb, the Son, who was there with him from the beginning. That is told to us in Hebrew chapter 1, verse 3. That Christ was the express image of his person, the brightness of God's glory. So he's the only one that was in that image. So he was saying, you know, let us make man in that image so that they can come into our likeness. And we see that even in Romans 8:29, fast forward, we're still being told the same thing, that those whom God foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Not the only, but the first. So it was a blueprint. And the plan from the beginning was that God was going to have a generation of God kind, not mankind. But God kind. So because he said, let them be like us. Let them have dominion. But see, first, you cannot have that dominion unless you come into his image and his likeness. In another lesson, I will be talking about his image and his likeness. But today, let it suffice for me to say, we got to come into the character of God. But his plan was, let them have dominion. And dominion is different from authority. You know, authority is delegated power. Dominion is rulership. You do what you want. You are in charge. You don't need to take instruction from anybody. You know, you are in charge. That's what a king does. A king in his kingdom has dominion. As a matter of fact, that's what kingdom means. It's two words that you can break into king's dominion. The first part of it is king. The second part, dom, is from his dominion. So a king's dominion forms his kingdom. And so God, being a king, and he also having dominion, must have a kingdom. And this kingdom, he was intending to give it to man. He says in Psalm 115, verse 16, that the heaven of heavens belong unto the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. So the plan was that God would reproduce himself in man, right? Praise God. He would introduce himself in man and give them dominion. And Adam was supposed to bring everything into alignment, but he didn't do it. He fell because of the, you know, disobedience and all that. You know the story. You know, so, but here we see that God's intention was to bring man into his image and character and give them dominion. Glory to God. Now, this dominion is important. We'll get to that, but I'm still laying a foundation. I mean, read again in 2 Peter, you know, chapter 1, verse 11. In this 2 Peter, we're told, of first chapter, we're told how to increase our faith. You know, or add things to our faith. Add to your faith virtue. Add to this, that. Add to this, that, and so forth. Finally, he says in verse 11 of that 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, look, if you do these things, and if these things abound in you, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, so this is so important. We need to understand this kingdom because we, unfortunately, people don't understand it. You know, the best that we know is, you know, people just talk about, you know, give your life to Christ so that you go to heaven is what we talk about today. But that was the farthest thing from Jesus's plan. It wasn't just for us to just be saved and go to heaven. If you read his prayer in John chapter 17, and the incredible prayer that he prayed before he went to the cross, when he got to verse 15 of John 17, he said, look, Father, you remember he said, look, Father, I have declared to them your name. They were yours and you gave them to me. And I have kept every one of them, and none is left, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He went on and on and on and said, look, Father, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom you have given unto me, and so forth. And when he was talking about keeping them, he said in John chapter 17 and verse 15, he said, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the wicked one. So if the path to this kingdom of God was to give our lives to Christ and go to heaven, if that's all it was, then Jesus would not have prayed this kind of prayer. He would have prayed, Father, as soon as they give their lives to me, bring them to heaven. That's what he would have prayed. But he prayed no such prayer. He said, I pray that you take them not from the world, but keep them from the wicked one. So there is a purpose that we are here after we are saved and come into the kingdom, and that purpose has been lost. You know, people don't understand it. You just give your life to Christ and go to heaven. But that's not what Jesus said at all. Now, this preaching of this kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom, is so vital. You know, it's not just any gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24 and verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world to all the nations for a witness, and then shall the end come." So the end will not come until the true message of the kingdom has gone out. So it is important. That's why we're preaching it out, because we see that the end is near. And this is how God works. When God says it is time, then he begins to stir people up in the right direction. So God say it is time. We need to get this message of the kingdom out again so that the end can truly come. If you want the Lord to come, then we need to start preaching the real message of the kingdom. Not what people are preaching today. Not the message of prosperity and message of this and that. Whatever they are preaching today, I don't, you know, may or may not be part of the kingdom message. But the kingdom message must go out in order for the end to come. So that's the kingdom. Remember, every king, you know, has a kingdom. God said in Isaiah 43 and verse 15, what did he say? He said, "I am your king." And if he is our king, then it's of necessity that he must have a kingdom. And if he has a kingdom, there must of necessity be needs of the, citizens in that kingdom. He said, Isaiah 43, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." So he put it out there, point blank. So God's kingdom is actually, people call it theocracy. God rule, God is the King. But he has also made us subordinate priests and kings under him. You know, so God's intention was that all of us would rule with him, right? Every one of us. He said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, that God has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, talking about Jesus, to whom be glory and dominion. Always talking about his dominion, but dominion is part of his kingdom. You know, so God has made us priests and kings, but we are priests and kings under him only. Yeah, we're not just standalone priests and kings. You know, it's same things in Revelation chapter 5. Verse 10, he also talks about that. He said, God has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen, reign on the earth. You know, he didn't say we're going to reign in heaven. Now, let me digress a little bit and tell us something. Take us back to the creation. There is no record that Adam was created in heaven or taken to heaven even before, you know, before all of that or after any of that. God visited him on earth in the garden, in the cool of the evening. Now, so, you know, this concept of just focusing on heaven, which we must, but not only focus on heaven. And Jesus talked about it. He said, look, John 14, let not your heart be troubled, and so forth like that. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if it's not so, I would have told you. But when I finish, I'll come to get you. That where I am, you may be also. But before he left, he gave a space. He said, Father, don't take them to out of this world just yet, but keep them from the evil. And that's stuff that they need to do, and that we must establish that in this teaching. It is so important. The position that God wants us to have, we lost it through the fall. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells you that. It's a very short verse, but it's loaded. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This glory of God and this intention that God had, he also tried to pass it on to the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, he gave them an invitation to come. You know, if you will obey my voice indeed, then you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. You know, this was what God intended. We can read that in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. God intended that. I'm going through this very quickly. God intended for the people to come in and be a kingdom. Now remember, a kingdom of priests. That basically means priests in his kingdom. You know, and we learn later on that they were actually also supposed to be kings, because that's what we read in Revelation, chapter 1 and, you know, chapter 5 that we just read. So these people said that, yes, we will do it, but they did not do it. We find out that in Exodus 20, verses 18 to 19, after Moses received the law and they saw the lightning and thundering and the glory and heard, you know, and so forth, you know, all the thing that was going on there. They removed, the Bible said the people removed far off and they said, we don't want any part of God. We cannot hear his voice. Remember, God said, if you will indeed obey my voice, that was the condition. And you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. And I've chosen you to be a peculiar people. 1 John chapter 2 verse 9 quotes the same thing. You know, but these people initially said, yeah, we will do it. But later they said, no, we cannot do it. Because if we do, we will die. You know. So when they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and all the mountains smoking, because the mountain was altogether on fire, they removed afar off. They didn't want any part of the glory of God. And they said to Moses, look, we can't do it. You go hear from God and come tell it to us. You know, let God not speak to us so we don't die. You know, that was so sad. There's a lot of sad things I've read in that Bible. This is probably on top of the list, you know. How somebody would not want to hear the voice of God directly. They rejected God's offer. You know, and this is how Moses became a prophet unto them. God never intended for Moses to be a prophet. God wanted direct access with those people, you know, directly. But they rejected God. And so Moses became a prophet. You got that? These people are supposed to be prophets to the world, you know, not to God's children. Remember when God sent Moses and Aaron? He said, God said Moses will be a God, you know, to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be a prophet unto him, you know. But these people, this is the role and power and intention that God intended for us, but the people rejected God. They rejected him. Say, let's get away from here. We're going to die if God speaks to us. So they lost the opportunity because God premised that great invitation with a condition. He said, if you will obey my voice indeed. Now, if you don't hear his voice, how are you going to obey it? You don't even know the voice. Then how are you going to obey it? You know, so this is the reason why Jesus, when he came, finally, there's so many things that Jesus was trying to restore. And then he tried to also restore us back to that relationship. He would tell his disciples, when you pray, talk to him and say, he's our Father. Don't think of him as some distant thing that you can't even approach. Connect with him as your Father. You know, and he also brought us back to knowing his voice. My sheep hear my voice. You know, and when I call them, when I go out, I call them out and they follow me. And a stranger, they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. I mean, he was telling us all these things in John chapter 10. He said, and look, I will give to them eternal life. They shall never perish and no one can pluck them out of my hands. And I will raise them up at the last day. He said all these things, bringing us back to the voice of God that we must obey in order to be a kingdom of priests and so forth to him. But these people rejected. People are always rejecting God's challenge to come and closer to him. You know, people reject God all the time. It's sad. You know, another sad story we find is in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. The people also rejected God as their king. You know, not only did they reject to hear his voice, here they are now going to reject God as king. Samuel was so distraught, you know, when the people were saying, get us a king, get us a king, you know, like all these other nations, you know, and God was their king. God already said, I'm your king, you know, and so Samuel was very distraught and he cried unto God and God said, look, it is not you that they have rejected. It is me that they have rejected. Samuel, 1 Samuel 8 and 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, well, go ahead, hearken to the voice of the people, do whatever they ask, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know, so God is the king, but people reject God's rulership. The same thing today, we don't even understand that we're supposed to be in his kingdom, but we have rejected God's rulership. You know, and even, you know, it is sad. There's so many sad things, as I tell you, in that Bible. Another sad story in that Bible is in the way that, you know, the people of God have rejected the role that they should play upon the earth. You find that story in Judges chapter 9, verses 8 to 15. You know, there's a parable that's being told here, but it is very illustrative of this same point. In that story, he said, oh, there was a time, you know, when all the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, right? So this is First Judges chapter 9, starting from verse 8. They went to the king, the trees representing the people and the nations. They're looking for a king over them. And so they went to the goodly trees representing the people of God. And they said, reign over us. And at first, the olive tree. Now, this is a really good tree. You know, the olive tree, reign over us. They said, no. Olive tree said, no. Why should I leave my fatness? Where are we, by me, they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the king, over the trees? I'm not going to do it. Okay, so they left the olive tree. They went to the fig tree, which is also another good tree. Come thou and reign over us. Fig tree also rejected this. Said, why should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? I said, okay, fine. So they went to yet another good tree, which is the vine. And said, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said, why should I leave my wine? We cherish God and man and go to be promoted over the trees. So these people also rejected the role that they should play in the kingdom. Reign. Remember, reign means kingship, means dominion. And the world is looking for it, ready to turn it over. And the goodly people turned down that responsibility. So when they did, well, the world turned to the rubbish tree. And so they went to the bramble tree finally. And said, come reign over us. And this is where we are today. And the bramble tree said, well, not only will I reign over you, you know, fire is going to come out of me and devour you all. That's right. Glory to God. You know, this is a story and a lesson and a parable that is so key. People of God have been rejecting the understanding of his kingdom because we don't even know what it means. Now, the perfect state or ideal state or future state of the kingdom of God, the dominion will be returned to the sons of God. We know that. You know, so the kingdom of God is not only futuristic. This is how we started, that our belief systems, remember, and I told you the conversation between Jesus and Martha, her belief system was preventing her from understanding what Christ was communicating. You know, so not only is there a future part of the kingdom, there is a present part of the kingdom. And people are missing that part. We're only focused on the future. And yes, indeed, there is a future part, you know, but, you know, until we realize where we ought to be right now, we will be missing a lot of things and be delaying the coming of the Christ. Because, you know, first, we have to bring in everlasting righteousness in order to anoint the most holy. You know, the children of God must rise to their true position and teach this world righteousness. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 28, you know, verses 19 and 20 and so forth. He said, look, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's right. So we must do that, you know, and until we do that. And it's more than just telling the nations, you know, be saved so that you go to heaven. What does that mean? What does it really mean? Just be saved and go to heaven. What does that mean? So in the next phases of this teaching, now that I've introduced the kingdom, I'm going to talk about how to reintroduce the kingdom to us. I'm going to talk about how to represent that kingdom to the point where people will want to be a part of it. That's what I'm going to talk about next. So if you fast forward, you know, fast forward, we see that, look, the dominion is returning to the sons of God, just like Daniel prophesied it. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 and to 22 also tells us that, you know, up till now, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to step out of the shadows and take, just like the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine, come and reign over us. And they said, no. Well, the whole creation is still waiting for the sons of God that are in his image. Remember, a son is born in the image of the Father. The sons of God, once they come into that fullness of his image and his likeness, they are able to express his character. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13 tells us that too. All the things that Jesus, after he led captivity captive and poured out these ministry gifts, it's for the purpose of coming into the fullness of God and the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. All of that is for that purpose. Well, Romans 8:19 says the whole creation is waiting and traveling together until now, waiting for the sons of God to step up. What will they step up into? Well, Psalm 8, verses 3 to 8 will tell you that. It says, look, God has given us dominion, even though we are not quite yet there, but we need to understand what has been freely given us of God so that we can begin to exercise the same. God has given us this dominion. It's all in Psalm 8. It says, God has given him dominion over the works of his hands. You know, even though at this time we don't see it quite like that, you know, that's the same thing that 1 John 3 says. He said, now are we the sons of God. Even though we're not quite looking exactly like we should look, you know, yet we know that as he continues to reveal himself to us, the portion of him that we see and understand by revelation, that's what we can become. Hallelujah. So, Psalm 8 will tell you, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, and so forth like that. What is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man? Well, for the moment, it looks like he's made a little lower than the angels, but I tell you, they will not be lower than the angels. Now, counting with glory and honor, angels are servants and ministers, and the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the son will. So, God has made him to have dominion over all the works of his hands and put all things under his feet. This is the plan. This is the future state. You know, but we need to start getting there. 1 John 3 will tell us also that, you know, now, not tomorrow, now we are already the sons of God. However, even though we already are, yeah, we're not quite there yet. You know, it doth not yet appear, 1 John 3:2, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, let's decompose that verse for a little bit. Let's unpack it, and let's not think of it only as futuristic. Read it this way. You know, the part that says when he shall appear. Read it this way. What we see when he reveals himself to us, what we see and adore in him is what we can become. That's how to become. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, God has given us power, you know, those that believe in Christ, to become sons of God. Well, to become, we must see these attributes in him, adore those attributes in him, and that's what we can become. What he appears to us to be like, and when we adore those attributes in him, that's what we can become. And that goes back to what he intended from the beginning. Let us make them in our image, and let them become after our likeness, in order for them to have dominion. You can't have true dominion if you don't come into his image and his likeness. So that's all. That's it, folks, for the kingdom introduction. I will be talking about citizenship and ambassadorship, but I'm going to leave that to another day. I'm going to introduce it just briefly today, just so you know that that's really where we're going. But we're going to get into it deeper by the grace of God tomorrow. When you come into the kingdom of God, you become a citizen of the government of heaven. See, now you are a citizen of heaven, but you are ambassadors on the earth. Now, before I get deeper into that, let me tell you that Ephesians 2 verses 12 and 13 tells us that God has brought us in to be part of the commonwealth or government of spiritual Israel. Now, that's Ephesians 2 verses 12 and 13. As a citizen of the kingdom, the first thing, how to become the citizen of that kingdom, is first, we have to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Now, God's kingdom is a kingdom of light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, you know, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's 1 John 1 and verse 5. And when Paul was recounting his experience, how, you know, when the Lord met him, well, he was still Saul then, on the way to Damascus, you know, he said in Acts chapter 26, he talked about it, you know, I think it's verse 18 or so. He said, look, when he spoke to me, you know, this is the way he told me to do it. He said, I have got to open the eyes of the people, turn them from darkness to light, turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified. This is the process of the gospel. You know, God said to him, look, Jesus said to him, I'm delivering you now, sending you to the Gentiles, unto whom I now send you, you know, to open their eyes. Acts 26 and 18. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. What does that mean? Let's talk about the power of Satan for a minute. When Jesus was being tempted of the devil, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, that devil bragged to Christ and said, look, all these things are delivered unto me, and I will give them to you if you would just bow down to me. Now, Jesus didn't argue and say it's not delivered to you. All that Jesus said was that, look, there's only one thing that man's commanded to do, and that's to worship God, not worship anybody else, not for any price, not whether you give me the world or anything. You know, we will only worship God, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shalt thou serve. So worship you? No, not going to do that. You know, so now Jesus didn't begin to brag that he's the Son of God. In fact, you know, every attempt for the devil to make him prove that he was Son of God, create bread, jump down, this and that, he didn't do it. But he brought out a valuable point here in this discussion. That devil, you know, has kidnapped everything, the kingdoms and dominions that God wanted. He said, all these things are delivered into my hands. Well, not delivered. You usurped, you stole them. Well, maybe by our disobedience, we turned them over. We fell from the glory of God. And the devil is like a kidnapper. And ransom must be paid in full before he can turn it over. And sometimes they won't even turn it over. But Jesus knew he had to pay the ransom. And so that ransom was the blood. He said, when he was telling them in John chapter 6 that, you know, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, look, the ransom that I will pay for the world is my blood and my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, that's the ransom. So he knew he was going to do that. You know, he knew that. You know, let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 51. This is what Jesus said in that place. You know, he said, look, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, you have no life in you. And people say, what is this man talking about? How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, he said, I am the living bread. John chapter 6 and 51, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the ransom, you know, for the life of the world. This is what he was going to pay. So he did not argue with the devil. He had a plan. And when that plan was finished, Jesus said, it is finished. You know, he gave his life, just like he's saying here. And he went down and confronted the devil and said, give it up. And he got the keys, hell and death and every power that the devil thought he had, stripped him of it. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 will tell you that Christ destroyed the devil who had power over death. And because of this power that he had over death, he put people in fear all their lifetime. So Jesus went there. Hebrews 2 and 14, delivered, broke the chains of death and fear, and took the keys. And Revelation 1, 17 and 18 says, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Glory to God. So, now, we are back in business. Glory to God. We are back in business. But to be back in business, you know, you are a citizen of that kingdom. You cannot be ambassador unless you are a citizen. Ambassadorship is where we are going, really. But I've taken all this time to explain the concept of the kingdom, but I will explain more in future lessons. A kingdom also has constitution. Well, the constitution of this kingdom is the Bible. You know, every word of God is pure. Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by word bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, the word of God, the Bible said, the psalmist said, look, thy word, thy testimonies are sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The instructions, the word of God that God has given us are the constitution, the guardrails. Isaiah 8:20. If they speak not according to this constitution, it is because there is no light in them. Read that in Isaiah 8:20. You got to go back to the constitution. Anytime somebody says something, if it is not according to the constitution, then, you know, just get away from it. You know, the word, the testimony and the law, which is the word of God, is the constitution. Is the final arbiter. You got to check everything against it. Now, the citizen comes into, to be a citizen of this kingdom, we must be born again into it. That's right. You know, Jesus explained that to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again. In John chapter 3, that discussion with Nicodemus. He cannot smell the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. You got to be born again. You know, there's only one way to do it. And that's re-explained to us in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The stone which the builders rejected, which is the Christ, become the headstone of the corner. They rejected it. We've covered many places where they rejected it. You know, but, you know, he is the one that God has ordained that through him we must find salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there any other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. You know, so I will introduce the citizenship quickly and ambassadorship quickly. We'll come back and deal with that tomorrow. But for you to be a citizen, you must be translated from the power of Satan, which is darkness, into God's kingdom, which is light. You know, and remember, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, so the promises in the Bible, all the constitution of the Bible, right? You know, all the constitution of this kingdom is in the Bible. It's all ours for the taking when you become a citizen. As it is written in 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 4. Now, this is part of the constitution. You know, some people say it like this, the second article of chapter of Peter, you know, and they say, you know, ordinance this or article that and subchapter this and that. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this we might become partakers of the divine nature. Remember, that they might come into my image and my likeness. Now, all the how to, the Wikipedia of how to do this, it's in the Word of God. Great and precious promises, all in the Constitution. How to get there. You know, this is where we fell from. Adam fell from, this is where we must go back to. This invitation is free to all. Jesus said in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, come ye and drink freely, all ye that thirst. You got to come. It's free of charge. You don't need to buy with any money. Don't need to buy with any price. Jesus paid that price already. He said, this is the thing I give for the ransom of the world. My blood, which is shed. Jesus paid that. So nobody else needs to pay anything. There is no penance and all this. Some false religion tell you there's purgatory and penance and all these things. You know, that's not going to work. Everyone that thirsted. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come and buy, eat and drink without price and money. This is it. Matthew 11:28. Jesus gives the same invitation. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Glory to God. You know, because my own kind of yoke is easy. My burden is light. I will give you rest to your souls. He talks about that. Many places in invitations that we are to come. But you must come. Come as you are. Isaiah 1 and 18 tells you to come as you are. Don't try to get all cleaned up before you come to God. No. He's the one that's going to clean you up. Jesus said to Peter, you know, when he was trying to wash their feet. When Peter finally found out that Jesus said, look, if I don't wash your feet, you are none of me. So Peter said, oh, Lord, wash not my feet only, but everything, my head, my arms, my chin. Jesus said, no, that's not necessary. Whosoever is washed is clean. So God is the one that's going to make you clean. In the words of Isaiah 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come as you are. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land or the good of the kingdom. But if you refuse and rebel against the constitution of the kingdom, then you will be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, so that's citizenship, you know, but I'll get more into that tomorrow. Quickly on ambassadorship. You know, ambassadorship is the, you know, a higher or the highest class of, remember, we are not living in the kingdom. You know, an ambassador, I mean, let me rephrase that. You are citizens of heaven, but living upon the earth to represent heaven for now. Jesus himself said, look, my kingdom is not of this world, when he was before Pilate and all of them. If it were, don't you think I could, you know, presently ask my father for legions, 20,000 angels and so forth? No. They will fight. My citizens will fight. No, but then said, no, not of this world at that time. At that time. You know, so, but there is a kingdom of God that's already within us right now. He himself said, the kingdom of God comes not by observation. It's not going to be here, there, in the future, this and that. It's already within you. You have to put all these pieces together in the Bible to get a clear picture, a full picture. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You can't just take, you know, a jigsaw puzzle that's a 500-piece puzzle. You can't just take 15 pieces and think you're going to get the picture. No, you got to get all the pieces. So we got to read a little, here a little, there a little, line up on line, preset up on preset to get it all. You know, and Jesus said, look, you are not, you know, Jesus himself told the Jews, said, look, I am from above, you are from beneath. I am not of this world, and neither are you. And Jesus told his disciples, said, look, because you are not of this world, they will hate you just like they hated me. If you are of this world, the world will love its own. But you are not of this world, wherefore they will hate you just like they hated you, because I'm not of this world, but you are in this world. That's right. So we are of heaven, but in this world. That's what ambassadorship is. Citizens of the kingdom, nonetheless, but ambassadors on earth. Now, an ambassador does not live in the country that they represent. They live elsewhere. You know, the ambassadors of the United States to other countries, they don't live in the United States. They live in those other countries where they are assigned. That's where they live. So if you're an ambassador of the United States to Israel or to the UK or to Nigeria or some other place. You live in that designated country to which you are assigned. You don't live in the United States. But while you are there, you must represent. Glory to God. You must represent. Glory to God. The kingdom of which you are a citizen. Now, you're not a citizen of that country. If I'm an ambassador of the United States and, you know, assigned, posted to Nigeria, you know, it's not because I'm a citizen of Nigeria. It was because I'm a citizen of the United States. You could be posted to the Bahamas or anywhere, but you're a citizen of the country that you represent, not of the local country where you are representing your own country. So that's, we may want to make that very clear. You represent your state or your kingdom in foreign lands. You know, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 17. Remember, I referred to that prayer. He said it also in verse 16 of that remarkable prayer that he prayed. What did he say? He said, look, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So we are not of this world. Even though we are in this world, we're not of this world. So let's make sure we understand that. You know, now, so the ambassador will be in foreign lands. An ambassador is not voted in. There's voting right now in the United States, all across this great country. There's midterm elections and there's voting every, you know, hour. They've been counting since yesterday, you know, voting all around this place. They're not voting for any ambassadors. So, ambassadors are not voted. They're not voted in. They are appointed. Glory to God. Now, quite unlike what we see in the church today, the church in general, you know, people are, you know, voted in or appointed by because of their notoriety or their, you know, advancement in the kingdom, I mean, in natural things. And they try to position. That's not how God chooses. God doesn't choose based on, you know, the things that we think. All you have to do is read Luke chapter 16 and verse 15 to get that. Jesus said, look, the things which are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination to God. It's an abomination. Now, all these accolades and titles and things, and that's how we appoint people. If some wealthy person comes into the church, they will be appointed to some post for which they are not even qualified, you know, in the ministry, just because they are wealthy and so forth. That's not how God does his things, you know. So, you know, let's make sure we understand that. And, you know, it's not based on man's ideas either. You know, Jesus said, look, you know, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, right? John chapter 15 and 16. I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Jesus is the one that does the choosing. You know, Psalm 65 verse 4 also says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto you. So God is the one that does the choosing. You have not chosen me, or does the choosing. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go out and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And so forth like that. You know, so this is, you know, the ambassador, you know, is in that role of representing. The last thing I'm going to say today, and we're going to wrap this up on this ambassadorship, is that, you know, remember that in Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6 and Revelation 5 verses 9 to 10, which we read before, says that Christ is the one that called us to be kings and priests. We didn't choose ourselves. Here's what an ambassador must do. He must speak what the kingdom speaks. It cannot speak otherwise. This is very important. Remember, an ambassador is the highest class of the citizenship. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, we are told that, you know, it's a very high class. You know, it says we are called forth to be ambassadors for Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And if we're ambassadors for Christ, well, you will not live in heaven Right. Yeah. We're not ambassadors when we get to heaven. We're ambassadors now that we are on earth. There's no ambassadors in heaven. What are they doing? What ambassadorship do they have? We're already in heaven. So right now is when we are ambassadors for Christ. Right now. To reconcile people back to God. And to show them, you know, God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. It talks in that chapter. So that we can also bring them in. The ambassador must quickly, you know, speak only what the kingdom speaks. There's something called kingdom speak. That's what they must speak. They cannot, he can't go and represent himself. Listen, John chapter 5, verses 19 and 30. Jesus, the initial, the blueprint ambassador of the kingdom, that gives us how it works. He said, look, the son, or in this case, we also who are sons after our order, we cannot do anything of our own. That's what Jesus said. The son can do nothing of himself. You cannot. What I see the father do, he said, you know, whatever the father do it, likewise the son does the same. You can't, you know, that's what an ambassador, you can't just make up your own things, you know. That's John chapter 5, verses 19 and verse 30. Say, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which sent me. This is what an ambassador does. You know, you are representing the kingdom who sent you there. Not, you cannot do your own thing. You know, I'm going to bring that home in a minute. John chapter 6. Verse 38, let me just go through these scriptures very quickly to give you a complete, you know, information on this. John chapter 6, verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will. Remember, he didn't stay in heaven. An ambassador doesn't stay in the country of which he is a citizen. He's deployed someplace else. Now, I came down from heaven to do my own will. I mean, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You know, this is what the ambassador does. John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. Jesus talks about the same thing. There's so many places where he keeps talking about this. You know, talking about he cannot do his own will. He didn't come from heaven. He cannot make up his own thing. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. You know, it's the constitution that he must follow of the country where he is representing. Can't just be doing his own thing. If any man will do God's will, he will know of this constitution. He will know of this doctrine, whether I be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that seeketh himself, speaks of himself, seeks his own glory. But he that seeketh the glory of he that sent him, you know, ambassador is sent. The same is a true ambassador. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's fast forward quickly to verses 28 and 29 of that same chapter. You know, Jesus is talking about yet the same thing. You know, he said, I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. You know, and so forth. And he said, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. I mean, how many times is he going to use the word sent? That's what an ambassador represents. You know, you are sent on a mission. And that is what we must accomplish. And we are not ambassadors when we get to heaven. No, we're ambassadors right here upon the earth. Also, John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, he talks about the same thing. Always mentioning this same rule that he cannot do, or neither did he come to do anything, but he that sent him. You know, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. I represent, you know, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. You know, when you're talking to the ambassador of the United States in a foreign country, it's like you are talking to the United States. You know, they are representing that country. In fact, if you go to the embassy of the United States or some any other country in any foreign country, that little place is like that country, you know, That they just carve out that little space, you know, and that's a, like a country within a country. Glory to God, you know. So the ambassador must speak the country's language. They don't do their own language. When I say language, I'm not talking of physical language. For instance, the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. I'm going to tell you what terrorists are in a minute. Even if the ambassador's family was kidnapped, what will he do? You know, he cannot negotiate with terrorists because, you know, that's not the United States position. So let me tell you these terrorists in a minute. The devil is a terrorist. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what terrorists do. Now, when the devil comes against you or your family, or you're facing any situation or crisis that the devil engineered in sickness and things, be blindsided you and come against you from any which way, what are you going to do? Are you going to cave? Let's just talk about sickness. It's the simplest case. When we have sickness, when sickness is thrust upon you, what are you going to do as an ambassador of heaven? There's no sickness in heaven. In heaven, the heaven's rules, according to the constitution, is that I will not put upon you any of these diseases that are in the world, or in Egypt, if you want to call it that. For I am the Lord that healeth you. You know, and he said, Christ paid the healing for, I mean, paid the price for our healing. You know, we already told that, you know, in the book of Isaiah. All you have to do is read Isaiah 53. You see it all there. He was wounded for our transgressions, were bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah was prophesying it. But 1 Peter 2, that's Isaiah 53 and 5. But 1 Peter 2, verse 24, was referring to the finished work. And he's using the past sentence, by whose stripes ye were healed. So according to the constitution, you were healed. So when sickness comes against you or your loved one, what will you speak? Will you speak the language of the foreign country in which you are in now, which is the language of disease and sickness? Remember, God said, I will not put any of those on you. Well, that's their own language. They're used to being sick. They're used to being tormented and oppressed by the terrorists. No, your language is the position of heaven. I am not sick. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I am going to leave it there. But let me tell you this. The Bible says that, look, you know, as you are an ambassador, there are many benefits. We're going to cover that tomorrow. Citizens and ambassadors, they got to conform, you know, to the culture and practices, you know, of their own country. They don't become, you know, citizen of that foreign land. They don't take on their practice. They don't take on their culture. As a matter of fact, they demonstrate, you know, some behavior that makes others want to be a part. I'll be talking about this more tomorrow, why Jesus came to choose to come during the reign of the Roman Empire. So many other times he could have come, but he didn't until that time. I'll talk about that more tomorrow. But the Roman Empire had a model that was good. You know, all the other kingdoms from, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and everything, when they invaded a country, they carry away the citizens of that country to their own country, make them slaves. Every one of them. That's how Daniel and all his friends became slaves. That's how Esther became slaves. That's how all these people became slaves. Ezra, Nehemiah, all these people, they carried them away, you know. But when the Roman Empire came, theirs was different. They didn't carry anybody away. They installed their own governors. They bring their own governors and install in that land. And then people, they begin to show people, you must have obedience. You must have allegiance to Caesar. You know, and everybody, and if you come and say you are not a king, that is treason of high order. That's why Jesus, you know, whenever people say Jesus is king, it's like you're treason, you know, because there's only one king, the Caesar. You know, everybody must be in obeisance. We got our governor, we got, you know, Herod, we got Pilate, we got Felix, we got Agrippa, we got all these people, you know, but they, you know, they, all of them report to Caesar, you know, and so forth. You know, Agrippa was king. Many of them were this and that. You know, they must report, you know, they must report back to the country, but they insert their own principles into the land. Even, you know, even Paul, you know, Paul said, look, I was born a Roman citizen. You know, Agrippa or the other person or Felix said, you know, I purchased this with a great price. Everybody wants to be part of that, you know, that great citizenship because there's something they see. We'll talk about that more a bit tomorrow. Glory to God. Now, the inhabitants of this kingdom shall not say that I am sick. Glory to God. Inhabitants of the land. You know, so this is not for us. Sickness and all of that is not for us. You know, so the, what it is for us is to, and sickness is not the only thing. I just use that one because that's simple for everybody to understand. I will talk more about this tomorrow. You know, so this is the lesson today, you know, that we wanted to share with you. And I'm going to rest my mic here after I give you this last verse. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24. And if you read that, you know, in the King James, he said, the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell in that kingdom. Well, we have a kingdom that is in, it's a kingdom within a kingdom. You know, the people that dwell in the kingdom shall be forgiven their iniquity. So this is our lesson today. And God bless you, everyone. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for being here.